All this month, we're going to be talking about the church, the responsibility of the church, the calling of the church. And today, we're going to look at the church that is the hope of the world. There is no other hope except through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, you see turmoil, trouble. Our nation, nations of the world, are turned upside down with crisis and problems. And everywhere you look, there is a scrambling to try to come up with answers and solutions. But there is no such thing as an answer outside of Jesus Christ. And the church is the answer. And I think we step back and we think, well, if the church is the answer, then we need to take a close look at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be a discouraging look sometimes. Even when you look at yourself, you have to reevaluate. And I just pray that today that we're able to do that. Out of all of the chapters in the book of Ezekiel, even if you're not familiar with the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 is the most famous of all of the chapters of Ezekiel. But there's so many wonderful, and I've been going through a number of a big section of Ezekiel, and just so many interesting and amazing things in the book of Ezekiel. But let's read here with verse number 1. Ezekiel had at least 7 different visions in his life as a prophet, and this is one of them from chapter 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's the best answer, really, to that question. Lord, I don't know, only you know if there's any hope in this predicament. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. Ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, Ezekiel was a young man when he was carried away as a captive down to Babylon. He was only about 25 years old. He was young, and he almost immediately began his prophetic ministry. And from what I understand, there was like a colony of those Jews that camped out and lived there just outside of the city on the river Kibar. And he was there with them. And there were no doubt hundreds, if not thousands, of Jews that were held captive, and they lived there. And he began to prophesy to them. He was somewhat of a spiritual leader and a spiritual counselor to them. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't forget us even when we're in the worst of circumstance? God still raises up help and sends a man of God and sends the word of the Lord to you in the midst of your trouble. Praise God that God is faithful. So in all of these visions that Ezekiel began to have, his first vision he had at the beginning of his ministry, and it was the most incredible vision. You can read about it there in chapter 1, chapter 2. You can read his first vision. He saw a whirlwind, and out of it a great cloud, and also a fire that was in the middle of it. And it was brilliant and bright. And then he saw, coming out of it, four creatures, four faces, four wings, four faces, the four faces, a face of a man, a face of a lion, a face of an ox, and a face of an eagle. And that's a huge lesson all in itself that I won't get into here this morning. But it was all really a revelation to him of who God was. God's greatness, God's power, who he was and what he could do for them, and how he could deliver them and help them. He revealed his power over the nations to them. That God can speak whenever you're low and discouraged and down and in hopeless circumstances. And that's exactly what he did. And he gave to him this first vision. And that was a vision of Jesus Christ, a vision of what the Lord could do for them. His response to this vision was he fell down on his face. And he couldn't even get up. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and lifted him up and put him on his feet and caused him to be able then to hear what God was saying to him. The Spirit of the Lord set him on his feet and said, I've called you to this rebellious, stiff-hearted, stubborn generation, and I'm sending you to speak to them. If they won't hear you, at least they will know that there is a prophet among them. Just go ahead. Even if they won't respond to you, go ahead and preach the message to them. What was his message? Well, the next vision that he had, that's in chapter 3, there is a vision of a scroll, which was the word of the Lord. It was God's word. It symbolized God's word. And the Lord spoke to him and said, eat that scroll. And he did. He opened his mouth and he caused him to eat that scroll, that roll. And he caused him to swallow it. And as a result, after that he swallowed it, he ate it. And the scripture says that it was like in my mouth as honey for sweetness. That's not the only place in the scripture where the word of God is compared to something sweet or like honey. The law of the Lord is like honey and the honeycomb. Amen. And so here's a young prophet who heard the word of the Lord, who had a revelation of God, of Jesus Christ and who he was, and he received a calling and a message. And the message was the word of the Lord that was put in his heart. So more than half, almost two-thirds of the book of Ezekiel through chapter 32, Ezekiel is prophesying to them of judgment, warning them of their persistence in sin and what will happen in Israel and Jerusalem if they continue to sin. And then the judgment falls and Jerusalem is crushed and the armies of Israel are destroyed by the hundreds and thousands, and the rest are led into captivity. Ezekiel was one of the first in the first group that was led into captivity. But later on, after Jerusalem is destroyed and the armies of Israel are destroyed, then the remaining remnant is taken down to Babylon. And he'd warned them that this was going to happen. But then from chapter 32 to the end of the book of Ezekiel, and I know I'm just giving you this quick overview here this morning, the last 16 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, he is speaking to them about hope. He is telling them that yes, it's a bad situation. It's nothing but hopelessness everywhere that you look. But he preached to them hope through God. Hope if they would turn to the Lord. And so that kind of sets the scene for the vision that he had there in chapter 37, because he's carried away to this valley of dry bones. It was a common thing if an army was destroyed that on a battlefield that they would just leave their bodies there for the wild beast and the sun to and all of the circumstances be nothing but bones there eventually. And it would be there as a continuing reminder of the defeat, of the death of that army that died in that battlefield. And so whenever he is translated in this vision and taken and given this panoramic view, he's set down right in the middle of this battlefield that is nothing but a message of hopelessness, defeat, death, discouragement, and he's placed there in the middle of that. And I'm telling you that there are circumstances and there are situations in our life when it does seem hopeless. And this morning we're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be honest that the church worldwide, the church across America today, is for the most part moved very far away from God. They're quickly moving away from the word of the Lord. It's very worldly and very carnal. And we can always point our finger at the others and say, look at that church, look at that group, they're worldly, they're carnal, they don't have no power of God, there's no anointing upon them. But really, our responsibility is not to them. Our responsibility is you and me as this local group right here. We have a responsibility before God to be what God's called us to be. Don't ever limit what God can do through a local church, what He could do through the influence of the body of Christ right here at this location, what He wants to do and how He wants to work through us if we would make ourselves available to God. Now, I know that this is a message, first of all, to Israel and to the predicament of Israel's destruction. But I know that every time that there is an Old Testament message, there's always a New Testament counterpart. And as God speaks to Israel, He speaks to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's also a message to the church. And God gave to Ezekiel this vision and caused him to get this view, this awful view of this battlefield that was nothing but a statement of their defeat and the death of that army that once stood and fought and was proud and well-trained and had such ability. Glory to God, the PA system is working today. Amen. And such a great army that stood and fought, but now it's defeated. It's not only defeated, but it's demoralized because it's every dead soldier by the hundreds and thousands have laid out in that battlefield until there's nothing but bones bleached out in the sun. And the Bible says they were very dry. Now, if you came upon a wreck and there was someone laying there that looked like they were dead or dying, if you know CPR, if you know, that you would at least call for help because you'd say there's hope for survival there. The right person that comes along that could help them, that could perform CPR or whatever emergency treatment would need to be. But if you came upon a skeleton of bones, you're not going to call 911. You're not going to ask somebody to do CPR because you know it's too late. There's no way. And that's the predicament that Ezekiel is looking at here. This is the vision that God is letting Ezekiel see. And a message that is very much directed at the church of these last days. A church that has become defeated. A church that is dead. A church that is dry. A church that has no power. That has no life. A church that's demoralized because we're not fulfilling the call of God and the purpose of God that we have. So how could we ever say that the church is the hope of the world? How could we ever make such a statement? If the church is carnal and worldly and powerless and not able to see life and growth and victory that we want to see, how could we ever, ever make the statement the church is the hope of the world? The church is the hope of the world because Jesus died for the church. The church is the hope of the world is because whenever the church puts their confidence and their faith in God, that there is never a case that is too far gone. There is always hope for life, for revival, for restoration, for a return to God, and for God to breathe upon that situation. Hallelujah. Amen. Can these bones live? Well, the natural answer is absolutely not. But he didn't say that. He said, Lord, only you know. Only you know. And only God knows the predicament that we're in on a national level right now. I'm convinced, thoroughly convinced, that we're going through many of the things that we are in our nation with the void in leadership and the almost the embarrassment in the candidates and all the things that are happening on a national level right now. I think much of what's going on right now, it lies squarely on the shoulders of the people of God and the church. Because there's this emptiness, there's this void of leadership that God has called us to step up and to fulfill what he's called us to be. Can this dry, dead, religious world that we live in right now, is there any hope for it? Oh yeah, there's hope. In God, there's always hope. There's always hope. And so he tells him what to do. He tells him, he said, prophesy to these bones. I don't know, this sounds really crazy and ridiculous, and it would certainly seem ridiculous to Ezekiel to stand out in the middle of a battlefield filled with hundreds and thousands of dead soldiers with nothing but their bones left, to stand out there and to say, I'm going to preach to them, I'm going to prophesy to them. But that's exactly what God told him to do. I want you to take notice of a couple of things here, that he said, prophesy unto these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So there's a twofold responsibility here. First of all, the responsibility of those who stand behind the pulpit, of those who teach and preach the Word of God, an awesome weight of responsibility. Let me tell you, churches will take a particular direction most of the time as a result of what's coming over the pulpit, what's being said, what direction is being given from the pulpit. It's an awesome and a heavy responsibility that lays upon pastors, preachers, teachers, and we can't ever, or we should never get away from that. It is an awesome responsibility to consider. But then there's also responsibility to the people of God. When the word of the Lord comes forth, to be eager hearers of the word of the Lord, to be in tune with the word of God. He prophesied to them and said, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. He had told Ezekiel, preach to them, even if they reject you, and even if you can't behold their faces, and they're making faces at you and rejecting you. But now he's saying, preach to them, even though they're dead and they're dried up and they're hopeless. Go ahead and preach to them. The word of the Lord, amen, is life-giving force. The word of the Lord demands a response. That's why we have altar services. Amen. Because the word of the Lord demands a response. Whenever God speaks to us and deals with us, then we find our place. And by the way, it just seems like this is something just in the last day or two that I've been praying about this message, that it's come back to my mind, and I'm reminded in my spirit of how that in altar services, amazing things can happen when people linger around the altars. Folks, we're just in too big of a hurry. We're in a hurry to get somewhere, go somewhere, and do something that's not important at all. When we have an opportunity to wait in the presence of God and to ask God, Lord, you've spoken. Your word has come forth today. What are you saying to me? How do you want me to respond to the word of the Lord? Let me tell you, the word of the Lord demands a response. And that's exactly what happened here, that suddenly there was a stirring. Praise God. There was a stirring. God had promised, if you'll prophesy to them, I'm going to cause things to begin to change and to take place. He says so, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Suddenly there was a noise. There was this movement. There was this response, reaction. Now, I've sat in the pew many, many times just like you. I've sat listening to the word of the Lord, and there have been times over the years where I've heard messages which have changed my life. One message changed my life, set me on a different course, gave me a whole new perspective to what was important. And I heard it, and then it was confirmed in the altar as I went before the Lord and said, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? Is this something that you want me to take heed to and obey? And then God makes his living word something real in my life, and there's a response to the things that have been spoken. Praise God. So first, now I'm not saying that noise is all we need, but we do need a response. We need a response. And there was a noise, and there was a shaking, and the bones began to come together. Now, it's a message all in itself, and maybe we'll get to that soon. But all of the parts of the body that begin to come together. And I like to think of the, first of all, the bones that came together, because the bones are like the structure. The skeletal system is the framework, the strength, the structure that everything else depends upon. Amen. The other day, whenever they opened Marty up, they had to go through that sternum and right through, and it just makes me cringe to think about it, that they have to saw you open and pry you open and take your heart out. Awful thoughts that they do all those things in those types of surgeries, because that skeletal system was put there, and the rib cage was there, and the sternum was there to protect the heart. That's the most vital organ. God designed it to be there that way. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. It's an incredible thing what doctors can do, but the most amazing thing is the way that we were created, our bodies and all the various systems, and how that everything has to be in its perfect balance. And if it's not, if the blood levels are down, or the blood pressure is up, or if you have too little fluid or too much fluid, or all of these different levels. And God designed it all and created us that way. So has he created the church. Amen. So I like to think of the skeletal system as what we believe, our doctrine, the foundational truths. Everything else depends upon that structure. And then other of the systems in the body, the circulatory system and all of these. And it talks about in that, first of all, the bones came together. And then in verse 8, then the sinews and the flesh and all these connective, the ligaments and the muscles and everything began to come together. All in response to the word of the Lord. Amen. The church begins to move forward, and really the muscular system is, the muscles that provides the ability for mobility and for movement. The church, first of all, comes together, and the bones come together, and then the sinews, the ligaments, the muscles all come together to give us mobility. And then it says, then the skin covered, but there is no breath in them. The skin, which gives us the ability to interact, to have contact, to have touch, to communicate with each other, to have come face to face with one another. It's that skin. And so all these various parts of the body came together in response to the word of the Lord. And that's exactly how God can move in the church. Amen. When the word of the Lord comes forth, whenever you hear the voice of God and the Holy Ghost begins to speak to you and deal with you through the ministry and the power of the word of God taught and preached, then it should have an effect upon you and cause you to respond, to be changed. Amen. There should be a response. There should be a movement in your life, a stirring, a little noise would be appreciated every once in a while. Amen. Praise the Lord. That God begins to move. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, how important it is that we hear from God. How important it is that we hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. Preachers need to hear from God. We don't need a bunch of sermonizing necessarily. We need a word from God. You may not have the 3 points or the 4 points all the sub-points all outlined perfectly, but if somehow
you can hear a word from God, then that word can have power and effect, and it will demand a response from the people. And many times I've sat in the pew and I heard the word of the Lord, and it moved me to change. It challenged me to do something. It stirred me to want to be something that I more than I was. Hallelujah. So the preacher proclaims the word of the Lord, and the hearers have the responsibility to respond to the word of the Lord. And God works in the church, and the structure comes together, and the muscular system comes together so that we can have movement and activity. Amen. And the skin then comes so that we can have contact and influence, and we can touch the lives of people that are around us. God begins to work in the church through the response. And oh, how we need the ministry of the word of the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's a great need. It certainly is, as all these things come together. And the body, oh, what an amazing thing that it is. As great and amazing as the physical body is, fearfully and wonderfully made, there's nothing to compare with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As God puts it together, the framework, the foundation, the pure doctrine, the sound doctrine, He puts it together, gives us the power to move forward, the ability to have an impact upon our world. And He begins to put all these things together in our life so we can make a difference in our world. But now, what does He have? He's preached to that audience of dead skeletons, and He's had a response. Now they're just a bunch of cold corpses laying out there. They're still laying there. No longer are they bones. There's been a response to the prophesying and the preaching of the word of the Lord. But now that battlefield is filled with just cold corpses. They can't move. They look alive. They look like they could do something. They look good. How many times have you stood at a coffin and people have said, "Oh, they really look so nice. They look so nice." And I guess people say that because they don't know what else to say. They look good. They look nice. And some I've heard people say, they just look like they would. They looked even before they passed away. They almost look like they're alive, but they're not. And it's one thing to have the look in the church. It's one thing to have everything all in the right order and everybody look like church people and everybody looks like godly people, and we've got all of the framework and we believe right and we have all these wonderful things about us in the church, but we're like a dead corpse if we do not have the Spirit of the Lord. And so He says, prophesy Him to them again. This time, finish the message, because the first part of the message was, hear the word of the Lord, and they responded, and their bones turned into bodies, but now they're still just dead bodies with no breath in them. And He said, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Amen. What a transformation. In just a matter of a short time, he obeys the Lord. He preaches and prophesies to them, and now he prophesies to the wind, and the wind of the Spirit begins to blow upon them. And they come back to life. They stand on their feet, a great army. Glory be to God. That is the symbol of what, the picture of what God wants to do in a dead, compromising church world today. A church that has no life and has no power, has no anointing. And there's no interest in the word of the Lord. You'll just walk out and disinterested in the Bible, disinterested in the word of God. Amen. God forbid that we would do that. It's a little intimidating when you stand up to preach and like four or five people stand up and walk out the door. You don't feel all that good when you see that. I've tried to ignore it, but it does happen every once in a while. Some I know are taking care of babies or whatever, but others, I think sometimes people, they just develop this lack of hunger and interest in the things of the Lord. and the word of the Lord. But now the word of the Lord has come and the wind has blown. So the combination of the prophesying, the preaching of the word of the Lord and the wind of the Spirit can bring a bleached out battlefield, a bunch of soldiers dead and hopeless. There's no more picture in the Bible that I've noticed of more of a hopeless case than that one. It's just hopeless and desperate. But there's no situation that can't be changed and can't be turned around through the power of the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost. God can change things. God can stir your heart. If it's been a long time since you've prayed through, if it's been a long time since you sensed the presence of God in your life, since you were anointed of the Spirit of God and you were led of the Spirit of God, it may have been a long, long time. But I want you to know God can take the lifeless and bring life. Amen. You remember when folks took that, some men had a friend, they were going to take him out to bury him, and they saw some Moabite soldiers coming, and so they decided, we're going to have to hide and run for our lives. And so they took the body of their friend, and they said, let's just put him in the sepulcher here of Elisha, and then we'll run and hide. And they let him down, and as soon as his body touched the bones of Elisha, was it Elisha or Elijah? And one of them prophets, when his body, dead body, touched the dead bones, he came alive. He was restored back to life. God can take the lifeless, hopeless circumstance and bring life back into that. Amen. You know what we can do? We can spend a lot of our time saying, well, I remember when we did this and we had this victory and this revival and God worked this way in our lives or in our church. I think, folks, it's wonderful to have those memories, but we can't live on those memories. And we can't survive in 2016 on what used to be. There's going to have to be something that's going to take place in our lives. We get so stirred and so moved by God's word and by the moving of the Holy Ghost that we are compelled to change. We're compelled to seek God and to allow God to breathe upon us and to bring about change in our lives. Glory to God. You see, because a dead church is no good to anybody. A dead church is no good to anybody. If the church is dead, then it is not the hope of the world. If the church has no life, if we have no victory, if we're not experiencing the power and the presence of God, we have nothing to offer to the world. The only way that we can really be a missions church, the only way we can be an evangelistic church, the only way we can really touch our community and have an impact upon this world is as we allow God's, the wind of the Spirit of God, to blow upon us and change us and to revive us and to bring life back into that which once was dead. Amen. Amen. I believe what God wants us to learn from this story, He wants us to understand that it may appear to be hopeless. It may appear to be dead. But to you and me, that field, to God, that field of dead soldiers was nothing but a possibility. You put the impossible in the hands of God, and He can turn it completely around. God can take whatever your predicament, your need, or even the life of the church right here, this local church, and He can begin to stir us, the children, the young people, young families, us older folks. We get stirred up in our spirits to see change take place. Is that your desire? Now, my prayer, as I prayed yesterday and prayed today for this service this morning, Lord, let the word of the Lord go forth and let there be a response. Let there be a response to that. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh God, Lord, we really do need You. We really do need You. We need Your power in our lives. Without You, Lord, we can't get anything accomplished. We have no power, no ability, except through Your power. Oh, Lord, would You speak to us the word of the Lord Help us to respond to your truth. And then, Lord, let may the wind of your Spirit blow upon us, stir us, and cause us, Lord, to sense that we need so desperately in this hour to seek your face, to call upon the Lord, and to experience life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.